to which the town council invites some people afterwards, are like, well, I think they're like a welcome antidote to the sort of social media sites which invite news and gossip, but which can become too often places of moaning or warning or naming and shaming. And so in contrast, we want to congratulate those who take good responsibility in our village. Our elected representatives on the council, leaders of public services and private enterprise, the leaders of voluntary organisations, and activities which help build up our community. Today's a day we want to say thank you, well done, and we're with you. It's been a particular pleasure for many of us this year to see the Mayor taking the extra initiative to visit so many of the groups and activities which help make Point and Tick. She has got round to so many, including the men's breakfast here and the bell ringers, even playing handbells at her carol service. And if any group or activity has yet to receive a visit, then Sarah Jane has a second year in office in order to respond to your invitation too. It's good. It's been encouraging. And the publicity on social media has been a plus for lots of community-enhancing groups who do a good job, often under the radar. Thank you, Sarah Jane, and those who've also supported. And I would guess for you, it's been a real eye-opener. Things in reality are not always as we expect, if we rely on expectations fed by media agendas or particular dominant culture. Lots of community activities carry on doing their bit, even when they're misunderstood, maybe considered untrendy, even eyed with suspicion, unreasonably. Going to see people and see what's really going on is the answer. Joining in for a session or two or more. Seeing for yourself what makes things tick. That's what the Mayor's been doing, and I encourage all of us to do it. If we do that, it tends to challenge our prejudices, reveal our biases, as well as give us genuine surprises and sometimes unexpected delight. And you know, even though we live in an age of so much information, we still struggle to understand others who are different to us. And because there's so much stuff, we tend even more to put them in a box based on certain perceptions or particular bias, rather than make the effort to see what they're really about. And this was a sort of issue that Jesus was facing in today's Bible reading, read for us just now by Lawrence from Mark's Gospel. And he uses a saying to make his point. In our teaching program at the moment, through these summer months, we're going through some of the sayings of Jesus. And today's saying is this one from Mark chapter 2, verse 22. There are some Bibles in the backs of the seats if you want to look it up and check out what we're saying and see what Jesus is saying there. It's in the Church Bible, at the back in the New Testament, page 37. Page 37 in the New Testament. It's chapter 2, verse, 22 is the particular verse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, says Jesus. And then he coloured in the rest of this picture to explain a point by saying, otherwise the wine will burst the skins and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. So put new wine into fresh wineskins. Now, it's easy to misunderstand a single saying. And I guess if you just took that verse on its own, you'd be inclined to think Jesus was saying, new things are the answer, let's get rid of the old. But he's not saying that. Because Jesus is responding to a particular question a few verses earlier in verse 18. The question is an illustration of prejudice. Maybe innocent prejudice, maybe mischievous prejudice. This was what happened. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to Jesus, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Can you see that the questioners are seeming to do this? Put all religions in the same box, then get confused when they seem to be different. And then questioning and almost blaming their confusion on Jesus. Why won't his followers stay in their box? The other religious people fast. Why don't your lot fast? Well, maybe you have this sort of prejudice too. You might have been taught at school or university by well-meaning teachers who probably learnt it at their teacher training college that all religions are the same. That you can put them all in the same box. I think, rather cynically, in order to write them all off together. But it's lazy thinking, isn't it? Silly game playing, really. And plain wrong. Now, such games are encouraged by the sort of religious education that spends its time comparing how different religions welcome new babies. Or compare buildings like churches, temples, mosques and the rest, just focusing on certain superficial similarities. But that doesn't tell us what makes things tick. The things that matter. Only a proper visit, only real conversation amongst people helps us really understand. And surely in this world we do want to understand things properly in order to get under the skin of an organization or a voluntary group. Because religions, like any local community groups, are not all the same. They're different. Ethos and motivation is not so easy to pin down. What makes things tick is not a tick box exercise. We need to do better if we really want to understand our communities and those within them. That's Jesus' point here. What makes us tick is not a tick box exercise. Well, Jesus responded to this question. Remember the question, why do John's disciples and disciples of Pharisees fast, but your lot don't? Jesus said to them, verse 19, the wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom's taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. So he wants to make them think. So he gives that illustration. The illustration's a wedding banquet. Now tell me, who fasts at a wedding banquet? Now, who decides that that's the day they're not going to eat food? They're going to abstain from food for religious reasons at the wedding reception. Anybody? No one I know. And people who are fortunate enough to be invited to a good wedding reception are usually looking forward to a good feast. That's part of the point, isn't it? It's called making the most of the occasion. And so Jesus is saying Christianity is about making the most of a relationship with Jesus. Yes, there will be times to do different spiritual activities, like fasting, but it's not all about rituals and patterns. Being a Christian is first and foremost and fundamentally about making the most of an offer of a personal relationship with Jesus. And that applied directly when he walked this earth. And so he says, well, the reason my disciples aren't fasting is they're making the most of my time with him, because that's what it's about. That's what makes things tick round here. Their relationship with me. And now that Jesus is not walking this earth, we can have a relationship with him by his Spirit at work in the world since he returned to the throne of heaven. So don't try to put me in a box like that, says Jesus. Don't try to write me off, says Jesus, by just comparing superficial views of what religious people do. Have a closer look. Compare and contrast. And you'll find they're not all the same. And you'll have to think a bit harder. And watch a bit more closely if you truly want to understand, and hope you do, as you need to in all sorts of areas of life. And then Jesus adds just a couple more illustrations. In verse 21, it's almost as though he's pointing to an advert for pre-shrunk jeans. He says, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made." So maybe it is just people like me who were teenagers in the 70s who remember this one particularly well. Those of us who did sit in the bath with our new jeans on, hoping they'd shrink to the right sort of shape. And then maybe had that experience when maybe your mum put one of those new patches over the knee where there was a hole or something, but didn't use the pre-shrunk stuff to do it. And so, you know, you put the new patch on, sew it on, then come the first wash, it shrinks and makes an even bigger hole than before. Thinking everything's from the same cloth does not work. And so to the saying about wineskins. Pour new wine into a new wineskin, and it stretches and hardens and matures all together and actually adds to the taste of the wine. Pour new wine into an old wineskin, and it cracks and bursts, and the whole thing's a loss. Jesus is saying, if you want to know what I'm about, then I'm new. What I'm saying is different. Don't just put it in an old pigeonhole where it doesn't belong, just because you're lazy and have swallowed that stuff about religions being the same. It's not true. And if we hear Jesus, will understand the world a lot better. Like community groups being visited by the mayor. Each needs to be understood on its own merits, with reference to its own unique claims. That's how we find out what really matters in this world, and so many more of the riches of the interactions of the people of this world, as we look to the future and seek God's help in these uncertain times. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for this teaching. Please help us to be provoked by it to more thought and better action for your name's sake. Amen.